Good morning, everyone. Such a joy to be here again. And this time I cannot say I'll be back again. I'm here. I'm finally here after 41 years of serving God in Malaysia and 17 years being away from my son. He has been in Melbourne for 17 years now. And my wife and I always wanted to come and be with my son and my daughter. My daughter married Ken, and they have been here for more than 10, 12 years. Joy has been here. So we've been separated from them for many years, and I will relate part of my story because it's a journey of walking with God. It's a journey of knowing His timing, His season in our life. And it's more than just coming to church. I mean, I love coming to church. You know, I love coming and worshiping the Lord and singing the songs with you and enjoying the fellowship and the humor and sarcasm occasionally. I just love it. I just love it. And I'm so glad that there's God's people are everywhere across the world. And He has built His church. He's still building His church. And I love that presentation there where we are not just a building, but the real church is the ecclesia, which is the people that are called out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's the church. Church is people. And we can meet anywhere, everywhere, where two or three are gathered in His name. He's present. He's with us. And it has become more meaningful when you travel out to other countries. I was in Thailand one time and went to visit a refugee camp. 37,000 refugees all together. And they met in a building where there's no doors, no windows, just the roof over them, and just sat on a wooden. It's not even a chair; it's just wood, you know, just a plank right across the whole church there. And they're a church, beautiful. Old people, young people, the young people, children, you know, and no air condition, no cool air like Melbourne, and you're sweating there. But it's the church, it's the people. They can't boast of a multi-million mega building project. I mean, thank God if churches have that, I'm not against it. But what I'm trying to say is the real church is you and I. It's the people. He came and He gave His life for the building. No, He gave His life for the church. He gave His life for you and I. He didn't give His life for bricks and building and cement. I mean, if we have it, we use it, that's fine, but we don't worship the building, but it's the people that He cares for and He loves and He redeems us that we might become His people and live that life that's according to His will and purposes. We find our direction. We find our purposes. I think it would be really sad if we live through all of life on earth and not know what is the purpose of why we are here and why we exist. It would be a shame in that sense. But God didn't mean it that way for us to lose our direction. He knew we were lost like sheep that have gone astray, came and died for us and reveals Himself to us. He revealed Himself to us. If you have seen me, you have seen my Father. It's God in flesh. Wow, you know, that's just awesome, isn't it, for God to come and say to us that if you have seen me, you have seen my Father. Reveals Himself to us, shows us what it's like to love Him and taught us how to love Him, and He showed us that He loved us anyway. We love because He first loved us. And He shows us how to love in an unconditional manner, which is agape, as we all understand. And so it's just wonderful. Pastor Kelvin has just placed it so beautifully, the whole mission of the church and why we exist. And I know that you are in the right direction. Just stay with the purpose of why you are here and the truth of why we are here. Wonderful. Praise God. Well, it's been many years now since I've known Pastor Kelvin, and never thought that I would come and live here just 15 minutes away from him. It's not planned. God planned it, so we'll just flow with it. Now, this morning, I just want to share with you about understanding the times and seasons of God. I don't have it on PowerPoint, just the title, Understanding the Times and Seasons of God. Somebody say seasons of God. Wonderful. Genesis 8:22. I'm going to ask Ken, my son-in-law, to read Genesis 8:22 and Ecclesiastes 3:11. Just two scriptures. Okay, Ecclesiastes 3:11. Praise the Lord. That's the scripture. Well, if there's any place on earth that understands seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, it's Melbourne. I thought it was spring this morning. It's summer, you know. Somebody warned me a long time ago, when you come and live in Melbourne, you can expect four seasons in a day. It can change so quickly. And so last night, I was wearing my summer pajamas, but it felt like spring, actually, more like winter. And it's so true. It's right there, tells us. It's important for us to understand, as much as there are seasons and cycles in the physical realm, even in the biological realm, there are seasons, times and seasons in the spiritual realm, in the way we walk with God, all right? And if we understand these times and seasons of God, I've learned through the years that it will prevent us from making a lot of mistakes in the future, if you know the timing of God. It will also prevent you from making wrong turns and unwise decisions in your life. Now, yesterday was a classic example. I sat in the hair saloon. My number was 98. And then I saw the hairdresser. She was cutting somebody's hair. He was 97. And when she finished 97, I was telling myself, I better run away. But before I can run away, she hit 98. And I had to walk in there, sat on the chair, and she just massacred my head. Wrong decision, wrong timing. But if you understand the season, you will know it is the right time to make a move. And when you make a move, I'm trying to understand this through the years, when you are right in the center of where God wants you to be, and you make that move, you don't really struggle. He makes it for you. He opens the door for you. He provides for you. He brings people alongside you. He knows how to make you succeed. It is not about we making ourselves successful. It is about Him saying, I will bless you, not that you bless yourself. I will multiply you, not that you multiply yourself. I will be a blessing to you, not that you make it on your own, but that you flow with what God has promised you and you do what He wants you to do. He will make you succeed. Hallelujah. It's a matter of learning how to flow with Him. And I want to say this, it is a journey. It is a learning curve all the time. And I'm just glad that when I'm here this morning and to be with Pastor Kelvin, it is a journey. We are learning together. We are going to walk together. We are going to grow together. We're going to change together. We're going to understand the timing of God and the seasons of God for Australia. And we want to press in. And I'm sensing this in my heart, that when you come up with this theme, the moment of truth, this is the season for Australia. And your pastor is being sensitive. He wants to understand the moment of truth for this land, that it is time to actually reveal the truth of the Word of God. No apologies about the name of Jesus Christ. No apologies about praying in Jesus' name. No apologies about understanding that God has set clear boundaries when it comes to sexuality in the Word of God. No apologies. And this is the time. This is the moment of truth and life solution. You know, it is not about how big or how small you are in terms of numbers. It is about declaring the revelation that God has given in His Word, and we are holding that Word in our heart and revealing it to the world and letting them know there is hope for Australia. There is hope for the nation. There is hope for everyone in this world if we will hold on to those moments of truth. Hallelujah. Jesus said He came, and He came to testify of the truth. Hallelujah. He Himself is the truth. Why are we so ashamed of His name? His name is truth. Hallelujah. So He is the truth. And so when we come to that moment of truth, we are just going to ask God for wisdom in the days, in the months, in the years ahead, to continue to establish and reinforce the foundation of the church, which is on the Word of God, which is on the truth. Hallelujah. When you have this foundation, then you will find that it will be a strong house. It will be a strong group of people that will not be swayed by any uncompromising or diluted gospel. It will be a strong house. Hallelujah. Somebody say strong house. The life solution will be a strong house for God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And so here is where it is so important for us to understand the cycles and seasons. In the physical realm, you have the weather, you have the climate, you have the heat, seed time, and harvest. And each country, you know, all continent will experience this in a different manner through the years. And then in the biological realm, there are also seasons and cycles. You have birth, you have childhood, you have a teenage life, you have adulthood, you have senior age, and we go through seasons and cycles of life, all right? And that it also corresponds many times with our intellectual growth and family, with education, all right? And so there are challenges in every season, whether we are young or old. Finances, sickness, health, pain, loss, relationships, we have challenges in all of the seasons. How do we navigate our way through these seasons? How do we walk through it, you know, without becoming a casualty where you lose sight of God, you lose your life, you lose your meaningfulness of living in this world? How do you navigate through it? How do you remain positive? I was just walking to the church this morning, a young man just walked with me, and I asked him, how's everything? And he says, there's challenges, sometimes good, sometimes not so good, you know. And that's life. That's the reality of life. You know, the moment of truth is that we are both losing our hair as we grow older. It's the moment of truth. But the moment of truth is we prayerfully, we grow wiser along the way and make less mistakes, right? So there is life, that's life. But how do we navigate through life and become positive, become somebody that will really impact others and build other people? But I'm finding this, that through all these years, whatever the seasons we go through, here is where we find God. He is in every season. Whether summer, winter, spring, autumn, whether from childhood to adulthood to senior age, whether we are working in school or not working and retire, we will find God. He is there in every season of our life. There are seasons of what I call, number one, seasons of revelation, time of revelation. It's a time to know God. It's a time when God comes He appears. He's near you. He reveals himself. He shows you that he cares. Sometimes through someone in the flesh, God brings along somebody, come alongside you and helps you. Sometimes it can be a spiritual encounter, like the little book I wrote here. I was just experimenting with this book here and corresponding my journey with King David, how in my early life I had an encounter with God. I accepted the Lord Jesus, wonderfully baptized in the Holy Spirit, rode my bicycle, and bicycle moved by itself and all of that. I know nobody believed it, but I know that I went through that encounter. Of course, the next day I still had to pedal the cycle. You know, it was just a one-night thing, but it was a divine encounter. And I knew that God was real. So he comes and he shows that there are other times when I've been in trouble and God brings somebody along my way and help me. And for me, if I'm sensitive enough, I see God in my life. I see God revealing himself. In that sense, Jesus came in the flesh. He revealed God in the flesh. I mean, just about 2 weeks, we were here on Boxing Day. We traveled on December 25th and went to the airport. And it was crowded. Everybody was trying to go somewhere. And we couldn't find where to go in terms of the counter, you know. And we were a bit lost. And then all of a sudden comes this security guard. Walked past through us. He was very quickly walking, very quickly. And then my wife stopped him. Can you show us where this AirAsia Flex Premium Flex counter is and all of that? Because the ordinary counter was very long. And the guard said, it's over there. But before we know it, he took her cart and the trolley and pushed with 9 bags all together. Just 2 of us, 9 bags. 9 bags, you know. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying 9 bags. 9 bags. 9 bags. 9 bags. And the trolley, and the man just took the trolley, pushed through the crowd, and right in front of the counter. You know, we didn't have to wait anymore. And I said to myself, thank God, God is alive. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how you see these things, but I see God every moment of my life. Not that the security guard is God, but God reveals himself. You know what I mean? You know, he brings people along the way, and sometimes we missed it. Sometimes we missed it. We missed those moments of revelation where God brings someone along your life and helps you and shows you that he cares, and we missed it. You know, sometimes we can be so close to what God, to who God is, and yet we missed it. Why do you think we have Christmas? Because in the fullness of time, God sent his son. There is a timing to it. He waits for everything to be ready. Then he sends his son, that the world may know he is the truth. Hallelujah. I mean, just a few days ago, my computer broke down. I'm supposed to run a leadership camp next week, and all my data was inside. I couldn't find my spare disk where I, you know, had extra data, external disk and all of that. And then I called a young man. I said, can you help me? And he comes and he clears all my data, took it, transferred to a new computer, bought the new computer, just gave me a bill. Pastor, he said, you just give me this cash. I'm not taking extra. And he did it in less than 24 hours. You know, what is that? To me, that's God. To me, that's somebody that's God brings along the way and helps me when I'm really in need and desperately needing my information for next week when I run that leadership camp. I don't know about you, but you know, I'm learning to see this, that there are seasons of revelation and you don't want to miss, the revelation, the season, don't want to miss the lessons we have learned. You don't want to miss those moments of truth where God reveals himself. And sometimes we miss it because we are either overwhelmed by our own pain or have developed a belief system which is not aligned with God's word, we can miss it. Matthew 16, 1 to 3. Jasmine, can you read that for me? Matthew 16, 1 to 3. This is a good one, because this was the problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew the scriptures. They were well-versed. They had all the information with regards to the word. With regards to the word. But they missed that moment of truth. They miss the truth and they miss the season of truth. Here is Jesus talking to them. Truth is standing right in front of them and they cannot perceive. They cannot see the truth that was right in front of them. Matthew chapter 16, 1 to 3. See, they can read the weather. The season, the weather is not good. Sailors will not go out to the sea. You know, you read the weather and you wear the right kind of clothes. You can read the weather, but you cannot read the season of God. God is now appearing right in front of you and you can't read it. Wow. You know, they miss the season of the season of truth of what God is doing at a given time on earth. What God is doing at a given time on earth. Season of revelation. What is the season of revelation today? For the world, for Australia, for your life, for my life. What is God doing in this season of your life and my life? Can we see it? Do we know it? Are we hungry to pursue for it? Do we want to know it? Do we really want to know it and to flow with the purposes and plans of God, which for me is the greatest fulfillment and the very reason of why we exist on planet Earth. He made us not for ourselves. He made us for himself. Hallelujah. That we might find the true meaning of why we are here on planet Earth. It is one thing to hear the truth. It is another thing to do the truth. You know, you sing that song, lovely song. It's one thing to say, love God. And Old Testament, hear, O Israel, hear, O Israel, the Hebrew Shema, for the Lord our God is one. That's a revelation. And we see the Trinity in play in the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel. But the hearing must be accompanied with a verb, which is love the Lord your God. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, with all your strength. You hear, and then you do. So it's one thing to hear. If you only hear, you only know half the truth. But when you do the truth, you experience the truth. Truth is not completely truth when you hear it. It's when you do it. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. He's the one that hears the word, and he does it. That's why his house can stand. That's why his foundation is strong. But the foolish man hears the word, but he doesn't do it. Both hears the word, but the one that whose house is destroyed is the one whose house who doesn't do the word. Who doesn't do the word. So you hear and you do. It's called experiential truth, as in ginosko in Greek in the New Testament, where Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And it actually means, I want to keep on knowing Christ. Not only hearing, but doing it, obeying it, be at the right place at the right time, flowing with the Lord, what He wants to do with our life. And so in that sense, it's experiential. And when we know Him, then we are put in a position as a church, like the Old Testament Israel nation, to reveal who God is and to reflect who God is through them, through that community. So the season of revelation, all right? Secondly, when we really understand the timing of God, there is also what I call the season of assignment or reassignment. Can be seasons of assignment or reassignment. Then you know what to do when you know the timing of God. 1 Chronicles 12:32, the men of Issachar knew the times of God. They were a tribe that was part of David's army. But they were a small tribe, 200 chiefs only, all together compared with all the other tribes where there are thousands of people. But they knew what Israel must do, and they were of one mind. They knew the workings of God. They were of one mind regarding who their leader is. They wanted to make David the king of Israel. They were focused in that sense, all right? They knew. And together with all the other tribes, they fought to make sure that David sits on the throne and rule the nation of Israel as God had determined for it to happen. Esther 4 is another one. Esther is another one that knew the timing of God. She was an orphan girl, but when her time came, we call it the Kairos moment, you know, she was asked to go up to the royal position for such a time as this. And Esther said, if I perish, I perish. She knew the time of God. She took the risk. She flowed with it. And so it is a time not just to know God like the season of revelation, but in a season of assignment or reassignment, it is a season to flow with God. All right? To flow with God. There are changes that will take place. So when I came in this morning, I was careful whether I'm sitting here or whether I'm sitting here, because I know in some churches, some people sit in that seat, you know, and no one else can sit on it. the names are invisibly written on it. they cannot change that seat, you know. If you change that seat, you know, they get a bit disoriented. Where am I? You know, the thing with knowing God is that it's a journey. And there are times changes will happen. And it's not meant to disorient us. It's not meant to make us uncomfortable. It's meant for us to realize that there are times when we may have to be reassigned. You just need to know that time. You know, this last year, 2017, was 2017, we finished, actually end of 2016, we finished 40 years in Malaysia. And it has been a tough journey, I have to say, to be very honest with you. Not everything is easy in the ministry, in serving God. There are times it's really, really hard. There are times it's really good, you know, you rejoice. But at the end of the day, it's not about celebrating victories. It's about celebrating the goodness of God, whether you're down or out. It's not about us being successful. It's about God fulfilling His will and His plan. It's about pleasing Him more than anything else, even if it means a little bit of sacrifice on our part, a little bit compared to what Jesus did for us. You know? So at the end of the day, when we finish our 40th year, I said to my wife, let's go. Let's just rent a house in Melbourne and wait for our house to be ready here. I mean, we got our PR some time ago. We could actually come in earlier. But there was just no release in our heart. You don't have that release. You just don't have that peace. You know, and we have had all that reasons. Much of it is sentimental. You know, and nothing wrong. We love our kids, love our grandkids. Some sentiments there involved. You know, but I'm learning through the years, It's a tough one. This is a tough one. You come to a stage where God's will, this is a tough one. God's will overrules your sentiments. And then I try to understand the scripture that if you follow Jesus, you are willing to give up. You're willing to give up. Some give up children, some give up parents, some give up their country, some give up, you know, to be his disciple. And it's all written there. And then it suddenly dawns upon me, makes sense. Wow, the road to discipleship is really, really a tough one. And this is a message not many like to hear these days. They just want to hear a good, nice message, make you feel good, you know, and life is easy and rosy and happy. And not many want to talk about what I call relational discipleship with God. That's a tough one. But when you get there and you're really willing to really relate to God, not only as an attendee, not only as a member of a church, but when you relate to God as a disciple, let me say this, your foundation is going to be really strong. Come what may, whatever storm, whether it's winter, summer, typhoon, cyclone, whatever you may call it, you will hang in there and you know that you are with Jesus. Nothing can shake that foundation. Relational discipleship, all right? And that relational discipleship also means you are willing to be assigned or reassigned whenever there is a call for it. In short, you're also willing to serve. You're not just a participant. You're not just a hearer. You bring your giftings into play. You understand you have giftings in your life. God has given you a gift. God has a call upon you too. Some are pastors, some are apostles, some are prophets, evangelists, teachers, some are administrators, some are musicians, some are teachers. Whatever it is, you have a gift. And you bring your calling and your gift into play and you bring it into sing. And that's where your call is. You touch not only the church, but you touch the community. You're using your life to the maximum. Why did God give us life on planet Earth? To eat, drink, and be merry? No, it's more than that. It is to come to a place where you really reflect who God is in this world, that people may know there is a God that is alive here through his church, which is called the body of Christ. Wow. So we came to a stage, we waited and we waited and we waited. And then when the time came, all came into play. You know, dear friend of ours said, Pastor, are you going to transfer everything to Australia, all your goods? I said, no, I think we'll sell everything and it's easier to buy new things here in Melbourne. Then she said, no. I'll do it all for you. You know, door to door, doorstep to doorstep. I'll do it all for you. I said, how much will that cost? Because I heard one of my friends said it cost $20,000 or $30,000 just to transfer all your goods over here, ringgit, you know. She said, no, I'll do it for you. Then she said, no charge. FOC, door to door. Then I said, I got delayed 1 year in Penang, so the whole thing was transferred to a warehouse for almost a year. Again, there was no charge, FOC. And then when the day came, I came on Boxing Day, 27, all the goods came on 27. All right? And FOC. And my son-in-law was there, fixed all the beds for us and so forth. And I could go on and just relate to you that when we really put God first, everything will fall into place. It will. Just one of my experiences. This is just one of my experiences. Of course, not to mention God has been so good to us as we learn to flow in his will and continue to serve him. You know, that tumor that was in my eye actually disappeared. It was there for 2.5 months. And then when I saw the fifth doctor, the specialist here, it actually disappeared. And then when you talk about the miracle, it's unexplainable. You can't explain it. It just disappears. How do you explain a miracle? And then you start walking with God. You just walk with him. No struggle, just be sensitive, just walk, enjoy that season, smile, be happy. You know, we are God's people, hallelujah. All right, so just enjoy that season of assignment and reassignment. Then we went to this church in Penang, we identified two persons that were willing to serve God, and they had the call of God upon their life, and trained them, empowered them. And when the time came, some of the members said, "Ayo, don't leave us lah." You know, they became very sentimental. "We love you. You know, if only you will stay on. You know, we have lots of durians on this island here, and you know, surely Pastor Kelvin will go." You know, they did everything they could to hold us back. They rented a nice condominium, 14th floor, facing the sea, the mainland, the two bridges, you know. Wow, it was like paradise on earth. And when my children saw the photograph, "Dad, are you sure you're coming to Melbourne?" It was lovely. Everything was there set for us. You know, I didn't have to go through driving license again, lessons again. And here I have to take L license, and my daughter will sit next to me because she's got a full license. Go through all the inconveniences, so inconvenient to come here and to transfer my thing, get a house and see the house come up, and so much documentation, banking problems and all of that, and all have to go through all those issues. But it all went through so nicely. Right bank officer, right immigration officer, everything was just in place. Time, a season of reassignment. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because when that time comes, God is in every season. There's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3, in his time, he makes everything beautiful. All right? So don't plunge into an assignment or reassignment until you know the timing of God. Don't plunge into it. Don't just go headlong with your own reasonable thinking. Do some homework. Pray a lot. Pray a lot. Know your motives. There's a time for everything. Time to wake up, time to work, time to eat, time to exercise, a time to sleep, a time to come to church, worship, praise God, serve Him, a time to save some money, and a time to spend and to give it away. Do it right. Sometimes we do it the other way around. Time to sleep, we wake up. You know? So, I can only say this. A lot of times in my life, the ministry is not in my time. Going to Penang was not in my time. Serving God in the drug rehab center when I first was trained in the Bible school was not my time. It's not my time. In the natural, I don't like to do all these things. In the natural, all right? In the natural. And I can go on down. I was very happy with Penang when I first pioneered the church there. Then after that, the Bible school asked me to go down to be the president of the college. It was not my time. I really didn't want to do it in the flesh. But you know, I've learned this through the years. God's time doesn't mean that you will feel very happy about it. Because it's about discipleship. It's about dying to yourself. It's about His calendar. It's about for the benefit of other people, the students, the church, the movement, the fellowship, the organization. It's always for the benefit of others, not for ourselves. And if you know God's time, it is the best time. God's time is always the best time. At the end of the day, you will see Him come through. And you will see Him help you through every decision in your life that you make for Him. All right? Finally, there are seasons of transformation. Okay? Seasons of revelation, seasons of assignment and reassignment, and there are seasons of transformation. Of course, assignment, I think about Moses too. I mean, at 80 years old, I mean, he's asking him to go back to Egypt, you know, to deliver the people of Israel. I mean, who would think of doing that? But he did it. He was came to a point where he felt he was the most unqualified person in the world. But when you feel unqualified, then you are qualified in God's eyes. Hallelujah. And then when you get the result, it's not because of you, it's because of Him. Hallelujah. So thirdly, there are seasons of transformation. Genesis 8:22, back to that scripture, seed time and harvest. In other words, change is taking place from seed time to harvest. Farmers will know this. Uncle Ken will definitely know this, all right? I'm calling his name because I just want to make sure he's with me this morning, all right? You're okay, okay. Seed time and harvest, all right? You're okay. He gave me a chili plant and a curry leaf plant. Until today, it's still alive. Good news. Yeah, I'm taking good care of it. Yeah, I'm taking good care of it. But it's like a caterpillar to a butterfly. Seed time and harvest, all right? And change is taking place. You don't see it happening, but it's taking place under the ground. The seed, you know, is happening. Something's happening inside. And before you know it, at the right time, it will break forth because it's a season of maturity. So I can sense this in this church. All that your pastor is doing, all that the leaders are doing, sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing is hard work. Let me tell you this. It's hard work. I've been down to where he was pioneering back in Johor Bahru, and I'm still coming here. He's in Melbourne now, starting this work, and I've seen other places, other pastors that are just pioneering. They're sowing and sowing. But you know what? Something's happening in your hearts. That's the ground. That's the fertile ground. And it's maturing bit by bit, day by day, month by month, year by year. It may take umpteen years, but the faithful farmer continues to sow and sow. But there will come, because seed time and harvest will always be there as long as the earth remains. It will never cease. It will never cease. So harvest will come. Hallelujah. Just hang in there. You will see that season of growth, that season of transformation. Hallelujah. God is in every season. He is our helper, our fortress. He sends help to us. He sends help through our children, our friends, to church, pastors. But when the change happens and the seasons change, and we have to adapt to the changes sometimes, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. My son-in-law is going to have his second child soon. We are going to have our fourth grandchildren child soon. Season is changing. It will change. Because attention now on the small one. All our energy, resources, make sure that little one is comfortable, grows into a healthy, beautiful, intelligent, and godly child. Godly child. We are here because one of the factors we are concerned with is we are concerned about the godliness of our generations to come. Whatever grandparents can do, we try to inculcate that godliness. Why? Because in the beginning of time, when God made Adam and Eve, He said to them, go and multiply. Multiply what? If you understand the context, they were still perfect then. They haven't fallen yet. Multiply what? Multiply godly offspring. It was God's will to multiply the world with godly offspring. Not just educated children. Not just rich, successful, famous children. Not just good-looking, beautiful, lovey-dovey children. We all know that's important. But coming back to that moment of truth, godly offspring. And so we feed their mind. We talk to them. We show them the way of godliness and make sure that they do not become a victim of the enemy, to fall into the lies of deception and to compromise with ungodliness in this world. Are we the minority? It seems to be. But if God is for us, who can be against us? God is in every season. Hallelujah. Let's stand, my dear friends. Let me pray with you this morning.